Today's topic is hope. And you think, well, why? Everybody needs hope. Everybody needs hope. We weren't created to need it. We were created to have everything that God needed us to have. And we did have it until we broke it. And now we don't have any of the things, really, that we really need to have outside of God. And so hope is there because I believe built inside of us is this need for the things of God, and we search everywhere we can trying to find it, except in the right place. And so hope is something, I mean, we're living in a culture, and this is what it is, We're living in a culture where there's an epidemic of hopelessness because they've taken away anything that's true, right? The truth is relative. You can make up your own. They've taken away identity. They've taken away security. And so these generations growing up now, if you haven't seen them out there, I actually am a big statistics guy, but I know people say, well, you can make statistics say whatever you want. But all statistics say that depression, anxiety, hopelessness, thoughts of suicide, loneliness are at epidemic levels in our culture. And here's why. Because the culture is feeding their people the lie of that this will provide the hope you need for your life. And they all fail. Now, we came from a generation, I did, the boomers, and we were the conspicuous consumption generation where we thought, you know, we just live the American dream, get the house we want, you know, retire at 55 and just enjoy life, that somehow that's going to provide meaning and satisfaction and purpose and identity and security and all the things we wanted. That's a lie. Because God created us to need certain things that He was going to supply for us. And since we don't have them, we're hoping. Every person is hoping, this can't be it. God, this can't be it. There must be something more. And that hope is for today. We're going to see that. And that's as far as I'm going to get today. And then hope for eternity. Okay. We weren't designed for this. We don't have what we need outside of God. Those outside of Christ, hopefully, those inside of Christ are taking advantage, but sometimes we don't, of the hope that we have. And when we don't get it, it brings inevitable failure, which causes us to be frustrated and angry and anxious and depressed, striving for things and coveting things and being selfish, trying to get those needs met that only God can do. Okay. The last 2 weeks of my life were probably, maybe, at least in the top five of the worst times of my life. It was a perfect storm. 2 weeks or 2 weeks ago, Monday, we had a massive family crisis that required me to be out of town for a couple days and considerable expense. Back up a little bit. This is going to be about me a little bit today, so but you'll get it here in a second. 3 weeks ago or so, I had been having some massive problems sleeping because of my arthritis pain. So I went to the arthritis specialist, and she said, you're only getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night, and it was starting to take its toll. I don't know if some of you know some more of the details because I've talked to you about it. I was really having a hard time sleeping, and it was starting to affect me in some really bad ways. So she said, I'll give me, put you on these pain meds. And by golly, they worked great. And I was sleeping like a baby. And I've been on them for a couple weeks. And I started getting massively depressed. And then so in the midst of that, which I didn't recognize at the time when it started, I just thought, man, I'm really feeling down. And so this perfect storm of, and then we had this big family crisis 2 weeks ago on a Monday. And then the Wednesday, I flew to Southern California, and Thursday I flew back. And I got home Thursday night, and I started feeling really bad. And then Friday morning, I got up and took a COVID test, and I had COVID. And I spent Friday, well, actually, we had planned a vacation for after Easter. That's Carol's spring break, and so we've been doing this for decades. And so I purchased the tickets, and I put Carol on a plane on Friday. And then I got home from the airport and tested positive for COVID, and I thought, well, there goes my vacation. And I felt terrible. I mean, I felt physically terrible. And so I was in bed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Friday, I had to miss the Good Friday service. And as a family would do, people just stepped up and made it happen. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll. And I had a sermon prepared for Friday, a sermon prepared for Sunday, and then Sunday came, and man, I was feeling, this was the worst. I've had COVID four times, and this was, if not, it was as bad as the first time that I got it, which was worse. So I felt really bad for 3 days, and just flu-like symptoms and achy, and on top of it, I had this horrible, horrible depression. And so, there I am on Sunday, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I had this really bad family thing going on. I feel terrible. I'm severely depressed. I'm going to miss my vacation, which I spent a bunch of money on buying plane tickets because it was spring break and everybody was packed. So. And I became somebody I've never been before. I didn't even recognize myself. I couldn't pray. I couldn't read my Bible. I was just absolutely furious and depressed. And I had thoughts I've never had before. And I never want to have again. I was in a hole so dark, I could not see my way out of it. And I wanted to die. Yeah, and I believe in Romans 8:28, which we're going to look at. How are you going to bring anything good out of this? So this is God's word. You can be in three different places with it. One, you can be ignorant of it because I just don't know it. There's parts of it I don't know. Or you could say, well, I know it, but I don't understand it. Or maybe the most dangerous of all, I've heard it so long and so many times that I'm just jaded. God gave me the opportunity to feel what it was like to be hopeless. Temporarily. Very temporarily, thankfully. So I got this epiphany after 2 weeks. And thinking, I'm gonna read up on this pain med. Oh yeah, it can cause severe depression, anxiety, and Well, then it started making sense. And so that I got off of it. This is my third day of weaning myself off. And I was having some pretty serious withdrawal because I cut it off cold turkey, which was stupid because it says don't do that. So I had to leave halfway through Rebecca's small thing last night because I was having chills and headache and nausea from withdrawal. But the depression went away, totally. But I got a chance to experience hopelessness for a very short time. And I believe it was a gift from God. Do you know what you have that the rest of the world doesn't have and desperately needs? We have a sign in our bathroom. It says this: we don't understand what we have until it's gone. Toilet paper, for instance. But believe it or not, I read that sign and I thought, you know what? There's some truth there about the toilet paper, too. But I didn't know what I had, or I got so jaded about it until it was gone, I didn't appreciate it. I've been sick, I've been gone, been depressed. What am I going to preach about? I thought I could preach my Resurrection Day sermon, but he already had a really good one of those. So God gave me this hope that I had taken for granted until it was gone. Hope for now. And then we have some verses, and I'll go to the verses. I can be loved and accepted now. I can be loved and accepted now, no matter what. And I have an identity that works. 1 John 3:1. Listen to these words. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. That's the reason the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. A huge portion of the world is striving every day to be loved and accepted. And in almost all instances, they have to earn it. Because when they don't perform the way the people that they need the love from find acceptable, they get rejected. We don't have to worry about that. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him, not perish, but have everlasting life. The life he's talking about is relationship with God. Okay, so we get an identity. I'm a child of God. I didn't have to earn that. It was assigned to me by God. It can't be taken away. Do you realize how valuable those two things are in this life that the rest of the world is striving to find and coming up short many times? I can be loved. You know, we all need love and acceptance. See, and I can come here and feel loved and accepted by you because God has given you agape love, and I see that love pouring out of you and into each other and into me, and I take that for granted until I'm out in the world and I see, guess what? This is not the normal that Christians have been given. An identity that can, I didn't have to figure it out. I didn't have to look inside myself and figure out, okay, who do I identify with today? I didn't have to worry about this gender and identity issues. I'm a child of God. I happen to be male. I'm a child of God. Nobody can take that away. I didn't have to earn it. We could walk outside these doors right now and walk around this neighborhood, and it'll be full of people who need love and acceptance. I'm not sure how to get to the scriptures. Just go back one more. Okay. And we'll try it. Oops. Okay, so there's first. See what kind of love the Father's given us, that we should be called children of God. Okay, so I need to go back then. Does that make sense? Can you feel that love and acceptance is a critical part of finding peace and joy in this life, and that you have access to it completely? And you don't have to earn it, and it's not based on you performing a certain way, because I've told you this before. If you know, I love you, you love me, but I can guarantee you this, there's stuff I could do that could make you stop loving me. I could. Broken relationships, we have broken relationships. We feel like, hey, we have love for one another, and all of a sudden something happens, and that doesn't happen with God. Do you realize what you have? You realize how valuable this is? You realize how important and critical it is to be loved and accepted? God created you to need that. And then he gave it to you. Okay. There's a plan and a purpose for my pain and my struggle. Once again, taken for granted. People in the world are desperately trying to find meaning in the chaos of their life. And God just says, I'll tell you. I'll tell you why it's there. Well, for number one, you're broken. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you have trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, so God, it seems like it's chaos. It seems like nothing's going right here. It seems like I just went through all this stuff. God, I'm angry. I'm frustrated because I don't understand why. Oh, well, here's Tim. Think about this. I would really like you to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I'm going to bring trial in your life to accomplish it. The rest of the world's just angry. How many of you, you know, you heard road rage incidents, you know, and you think, oh my goodness, how could somebody do that? A week ago, I could have told you exactly how people do that. You find yourself angry with life, angry with God, wondering why in the world would you bring this into my life? Because I love you, God says. Because I love you and I want to fix your brokenness. I want you to be more like me so I can pour the hope of peace and joy into your life, overflowing. And my dear child, you don't respond that well to blessings, and so I'm going to use my best tool. I would like for you to develop steadfastness so that you can become complete and mature, lacking in nothing. Do you realize how important that is? Do you realize how valuable it is? Do you realize how difficult it is when life just seems to have no real purpose, that all this stuff is just random, and you look and you see the brokenness and the pain and the suffering that's going on in life, and when you can't identify it having any sort of decent purpose, how confused and desperate it makes people feel. In this 24-hour, 365 news cycle, you can run off the cliff of depression pretty quickly if you don't see that there's a purpose in your life for the pain. I took that for granted. Or I chose to ignore it, put it that way. Questioning God. Why? Why do I feel like this? Why did you let this happen? And his words were always right there. Because I love you. Because you're broken and you need to be fixed. I love you enough to hurt you to do it. This is the hope for now. Someone who really loves me is in total control of everything. Good combination. Oops, snips. Here I got to go back. Something's not. There we go. I got to go back one. Someone who loves me is in control of everything. All the inhabitants of the earth are as accounted as nothing. And he does, meaning God, according to his will, among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? God is completely sovereign. He's in control of everything. Outside of God, see, the world sees that there's nothing but chaos because it seems chaotic. How valuable do you think it is to be able to be in the midst of chaos and say, nope, my God's in control and he loves me. In fact, he loves me so much that he's working all things together for my good. Wow. Try living without that for a while in this life, in this world. Try living in a world where you think no one's in control and you better protect yourself and you better create circumstances around yourself so that you can avoid this chaos because there's nobody looking out for you but you. Try living in that world. Or embrace the fact that regardless how chaotic and out of control the world seems, the truth of God says, no. I'm allowing this brokenness. I'm allowing some of these things to happen, but I'm in control. And, Tim, I'm working all these things together for your good. That's nice to think about. I don't know how people without God do it. I really don't. But I also don't know, or I have a better idea now, I guess, how people with God don't take advantage of it. Back one more. Okay. Finally, I can be significantly changed for the better in this life. There's this thing called an algorithm. Social media sites all have them. So if you're stupid enough to click on something that says how to reduce cholesterol in your body, you're going to get posts up the kazoo about all the different ailments that I've looked up and all of the posts that come up on my Facebook page and how I can change my life for the better and then, you know, weight loss and how to be, you know, more socially graceful and all the different. There is a $1 billion industry on trying to help people change themselves for the better. And let's just say, I can actually shrink my prostate. And then I do it, and I find out I'm really no more happier than I was before. The rest of the world is striving to find a better life. And I know God's in there working. See, that's the thing. They have to work for it. And then they achieve it, and then they find out it's no better. And so here I am, and I know this. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. See, I know that God's in there working to make me better. Make me a better, and give me the things that actually are going to provide satisfaction and fulfillment and security and hope and identity and meaning and purpose, all the things that I really need. And that if I am striving to do it, I'm going to ultimately fail and my life is going to be miserable. And we see stories of people climbing the ladder of success and then they kill themselves when they get to the top and find out they don't have any more satisfaction out of life than they had when they started, or less. I know God is working in me. Have I thwarted him and resisted? Yes. Have you? Yes. And if he were me, he would have given up on me, moved on to somebody who was a little more cooperative. Then I can go to the Word of God and say, nope, I'm sure of this. He started, and he ain't ever given up, and one day he's going to finish the job. I think you even probably mentioned it last week, Ron. Live your best life now. Yeah. Next week, we're going to talk about eternal hope. Now, I know God's working in my life to make me more like Jesus, using trials as his best tool. I get that. I understand it. I can even consider it pure joy. I'm working on that. But I know God's in there working. And as long as I die to self and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, I can find peace and joy and satisfaction right now. God died on the cross to ensure my eternal destiny, but also to open me up to the changes that the Holy Spirit would do in my life to give me the abundant life here, which is not having anything to do with money, accomplishment, or anything, or how good I look, or how old I am. It's all about being more like Jesus and having intimacy with God. Okay, so Jesus died on the cross so I could have intimacy with God now. And he's never going to stop. Never. He's going to keep working on me and you. See, the rest of the world does not have that. The rest of the world does not have that confidence. And here's what usually happens is they try to change, they fail, and then finally they just give up and start putting on a front so that they look good from the outside. And sometimes we do that too, but you recognize God's never going to give up on you in this life, never. Now, you're a work under construction until God takes you out of here and finishes the job. And so we don't have to go on the internet and find out how to live our best life now. Or try this weight loss plan. Or try this way to get rich quick. Or try this way to find the things that I'm thinking I need to get all the things out of life that I want. I just have to let God do his work. I could be better at getting out of his way. I know that. So could you. But I have the confidence that he's not like me, because I would be very frustrated with me. He's not. He's not the least bit frustrated in me. Because that would mean he would have not seen this coming, and he saw it coming before he even saved me. He knew what a knucklehead I would be. He saved me anyway. So, we have confidence in God's word that he who began a good work is still in there, working away. Hopefully that makes you feel a little more confident. Okay. Because I think you probably heard nothing new today. But I think sometimes we get kind of jaded and we take for granted the things that we have from God until they're gone. I saw a little bit of a sliver of what it might feel like if they were gone. Thankfully, I'm back. But it did give me an appreciation for what God's done. Hopefully, it will for you too. Let's pray, and then we're going to have communion. Lord, we are really messed up most of the time. And you look past our brokenness, and in fact, you said, I'm only coming after the broken ones. And then you did what was necessary to reconcile me back and us back to you so that you could begin working on us, bringing us back to where we were supposed to have been in the first place when you first created us. And it's a messy, sloppy process. It doesn't seem like it's in a straight line. And yet, your word is full to the top of your promises that if we would just recognize them and take advantage of them, would help us to find the things that really satisfy us now. So, thank you for that, God. I thank you for saving me, but I thank you every day for just continuing to work in me. And in spite of myself, I get closer to you all the time because of you. So, Lord, we just want to be thankful, not take it for granted. All the things that you provided so that we could know you. So, thank you, God. We praise you and give you all the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.